Good singing. How y'all doing? Great. Back from your holidays? Or are you still on? Sorry, I just have to say that. That was too good not to ask. Well, I think people are kind of winding down from their holiday time, and it's a good thing. Holidays are good, but it's always refreshing to be back and in the swing of things, back in school. I know most of you enjoy that, you children. So everybody always looks forward to school. And everybody looks forward to work. Are you people here? A young boy was traveling by airplane to visit his grandparents, and he sat beside a man, a theologian actually, who happened to be he was a seminary professor in one of the top universities, and this man was known that he could never be stumped. I mean, you could throw questions at him, theological questions, and he could answer them. There was no doubt about it. I mean, this guy knew his scripture. He knew what he was talking about. Well, this young boy sat beside this man, and the young boy was reading a Sunday school take-home paper when the professor thought that he'd have some fun with this young kid. Because, I mean, after all, he was a theologian. And so he said, "Young man," he said, "if you can tell me something that God can do, I will give you a toonie." Boy thought about it for a moment. He thought, "A toonie, that's pretty good cash." And then he said, Mister, if you can tell me something that God can't do, I'll give you a whole bank full of toonies." And stumped the professor. So often in our life, we don't understand the power of God. I mean, the word power itself. Just say the word power. Wow, you're awake. Power, simply saying that word gives a sense of authority. Power. But saying the word isn't enough. Understanding is where it's at. This morning, I want you to take these principles that we're going to look at from the Word of God and apply it to your life. And I tell you, if you apply it to your life will never be the same again. Guaranteed. If you apply it today. Turn, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42. And as you turn there, you will understand today God's power more than ever. Understand that God's power, first of all, is sensitive and gentle. If you look at this passage in Isaiah 42, and I read verse 1 to you first, it says, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations." Even though Isaiah's prophecies were recorded hundreds of years before Jesus' birth, the attitudes and the behaviors that Isaiah described define Jesus Christ in detail. You see, our world has taught us so well that in order to gain respect and in order to get attention, we must be loud and boisterous. But God isn't like that. I mean, when you think about it, we talked about this. Why were people drawn to Jesus Christ? I mean, crowds were drawn to him. Why? Well, the first thing that Isaiah wrote in these servant songs is that the Lord's servant, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one, the Lord's servant would manifest a spirit of sensitivity and restraint. Look at Isaiah 42 verse 2. It says, "He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets." I like that. You see, the Gospels never refer to Jesus as brash or boisterous. Instead, his power was it was always demonstrated in a gentle and a humble manner. You see, power is not associated with loudness, with a boisterous voice. The Lord taught us this time and time again. Power is in humility. Jesus so effectively portrayed this kind of power. He did it because he was always sensitive He was always gentle. Abraham Lincoln said, "Nearly all men can stand adversity, but if you want to test a man's character, give him power." Wow. Now we see this kind of power, the power of God, in 1 Kings chapter 19. And if you want, you can turn there, but I'm going to just be reading about it. The power of God in 1 Kings 19 is incredible power. Elijah was a runner. I got to take my jacket off because I'm getting hot already and I haven't even got worked up yet. Elijah was a runner. That means that when conflict was coming, he didn't like conflict all that much. He was a great man of God. My tie is short, so I wasn't anticipating taking my jacket off. But my tie is short, but that's okay. You can bear with it. Where was I? I was preaching. I was talking about 1 Kings. I'm sorry. See, 1 Kings 19, verse 9 says, "And the word of the Lord came to him," that is Elijah, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Okay? And he's running. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he replied, he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant. They've broken down your altars. They have put your prophets to death with the sword." And Elijah said, "I am the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too." Have you ever been afraid of someone who appears to have great power? I know, you can think of Revenue Canada all you like when I'm talking this message, but have you ever ran from something or ran from someone? Let me assure you, if you run from what you think is after you, you will get winded from running so much. You'll be panting all the time. You know? We run from our financial situation. We run from relationship to relationship. We run from place to place. We run from church to church, to church to church, from ministry to ministry to ministry. We even run from God. And there are so often times where we're just like Elijah. And then we wonder why we're so worn out. We do so much running. It's time for us to stop. And as this passage goes on, verse 11 of 1 Kings 19, the Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Wow. The Lord's about to pass by. Maybe this morning you know that you need to stop running from God. It's time for you to just stop and stand and finally trust in the power of God. And the passage goes on, it says, when he stood out there, "Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart, shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in a fire. And at the fire came a gentle whisper." Can you say that? Whisper. No, you have to get the whisper. Doesn't sound very powerful. Oh, Elijah heard this whisper. He pulled his cloak over his face. And he went out and he stood at the mouth of the cave. From a whisper. How often we think God's in the loud. How often we believe that the all-powerful, all-knowing God will loudly proclaim his power, but with God, all we can handle is a gentle whisper. Have you ever heard God's whisper? I will tell you right now that I believe everybody in this room, everyone has heard God's whisper. And those of you listening, watching by internet, you've heard God's whisper. But are you listening? You see, there's a difference between hearing the word of God and listening to the whisper of God. You can hear God's whisper and ignore it, or you can listen to God's whisper and do it. The verse goes on, verse 13 of 1 Kings 19. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face. He went out and he stood at the mouth of the cave. Isn't it amazing how we associate power with loud and boisterous? In fact, most preachers think that way. And if I just am loud and scream it out, they'll get it. I mean, I got to tell you, I just get excited and enthused when I'm up here. But we think power is in the raise of our voice. In fact, we do that as parents, don't you? You've done it many times. You parents, teachers, you've done it. We raise our voice. We command attention. I've had to change the way I think on this. God's power is in the whisper. How different from the world's viewpoint of power. In fact, I pulled this out from the dictionary. It says power is the ability to act, the faculty of doing or performing something, that in virtue of which one can, capability producing an effect, strength, force, energy manifested in action, capacity, susceptibility, natural strength. Natural strength. I remember former area minister Bob Cron explaining power in this manner. He said, the world's kind of power is very outward, but God's power is inner and hidden. What a great description of godly power. God doesn't exert power. He is power. Passage goes on, a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he tried again to get this through to God. I mean, obviously God mustn't understand. He replied, he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. You haven't heard me. The Israelites have rejected your covenant. They broke down your altars. They put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. They're going after me, God. They've got swords in their hands. Now, I can think of many times I've whined to God. A couple weeks ago, I was at the dentist, and went to the dentist, and I don't like dentists that very much. If you're a dentist, I apologize. If you work for a dentist, I'll pray for you. But I was going to the dentist, and I remember I was thinking, oh, I have to go to the dentist. Telling Kate and you, telling people, pray for me. I'm going to the dentist. So I go in and get my teeth cleaned. It was really a traumatic experience for me. And after they were done, they shaved a little bit here because they thought that would work. And, you know, on this one tooth, and did a little shaving. And oh, I live to tell about it. So I leave the dentist and I get back. And that evening, my family's going up to the Quest. And there's a fellow there who wanted to talk to me. His name's Rocky. And if you know Rocky, I mean, Rocky's a great guy. He's very upfront, tells you what it is. So anyway, Rocky goes to my family. He says, where's Devin? And my daughter goes, well, my dad went to the dentist today. It was a pretty dramatic experience for him, so he's not here tonight. So Rocky phones me. Okay, and I'm actually not at home. I'm out. Because I had another meeting. But I'm out, and Rocky leaves this message. This is your dentist calling. Wah, 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 wah. Baby. That's all he said. So I get home, and I listen to that message. This is your dentist calling. Wah, 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 wah. Baby. You know? He was somewhat right. But Elijah, he is such a perfect example of how God's power is available to us. We don't have to fear. We have the power of God available to us. The point is, most of us don't even use the power that God gives us. And Elijah, he winds his way with God. He tells him how fearful he is. He explains why he needs to be in hiding. People are out to kill him. And God comes through. I mean, God comes through for Elijah. Because in verse 15 of 1 Kings, the Lord said to Elijah, see, this is the wisdom of God. Go back the way you came. Wait a minute, didn't you hear what I just said? They're out to kill me. Go back the way you came. But they have swords. Go back the way you came. You see, the point is this. God is so much bigger than your problem, Elijah. God is so much bigger than your problem, Devin. God is so much bigger than your problem. Can you say, God is so much bigger than my problem? Even a small, quiet whisper. from God is too much. God can handle what you're going through. God can handle what you're going through. God can handle your fear. He can handle your hurt. God can take care of you. God's power is available to you right now. The mighty power of God. But you have to understand that God's power is sensitive and it's gentle. And God's power is compassion and mercy. If you look at, again to Isaiah 42. Dropping things. Verse 3. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will neither falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his law the islands will put their hope. See, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. That's compassion and that's mercy. Jesus Christ constantly aligned himself with righteousness, integrity, honesty, and an absolute adherence to truth. He spent himself on those who were oppressed, those who were misjudged, those who were misunderstood, those who were victimized, and he has not stopped doing that. His compassion broke all boundaries. No one was excluded from him. The amazing thing about Jesus was that while he attracted crowds, people listened to him, he didn't have gimmicks to attract them. I mean, all he had to offer them was his compassion and his mercy. You see, Jesus, he was the Son of God, but he served with compassion, not power. You see, if you need to exert power, then you don't have any power. But we so often want to exert our power. It's like this Pickles cartoon. It makes sense. Little grandpa's talking there to his little grandson. You should always address your elders respectfully, Nelson. We're much older and wiser than you young people, and we deserve a certain amount of respect for that, okay? Okay. So now, what is it you wanted to tell me? Well, you've got your shirt on inside out, you know. Power comes back to bite you sometimes. If you read this book, how many of you read this book, The Shack? A few of you, I recommend this book. I highly recommend it. If you don't know where to get one, you call the office and we'll order it for you. This is a great book because it will shape your thinking in a sense, but it'll also stretch your thinking. But listen to these words that the author penned in this book, The Shack. The author is William P. Young, and he describes godly power in this way. I love the way he says it. Relationships are never about power. And one way to avoid the will to power is to choose to limit oneself to serve. You think about it for a moment. People who attempt to use their power, we really attempt to avoid them. But those who are compassionate, who show mercy and care, you want to be around those people. They're the kind, they just lift your day. People are attracted to those kind of people. I watched a tribute to John Ritter the other day, the actor who's best known, the comic Jack Tripper in the 70s show called Three's Company. And each actor whom they interviewed on that special, they wept over John Ritter passing away. I mean, he's 54 when he was suddenly taken off the set of his latest TV series, and he died, actually, that day. And as they interviewed young teens from that show or actors from previous shows that he's involved with, they always said one thing about John Ritter. You just always wanted to be around John because he didn't care who you were. He just wanted to make you enjoy life more. When he walked into a room, you could just feel a sense of whoosh. John's here. And you'd feel the joy that he'd bring. Now that should be the epitaph of every Christian. Others should look forward to us entering a room because of the whoosh, the joy that is here in our heart. The joy of Christ. Remember, the joy of the Lord is your strength. There's power there. We have the joy of Jesus Christ right here. Tap into that power. Embrace that power. Enjoy like you've never enjoyed life before. by demonstrating the compassion and mercy of God. That's joy. Nothing can be compared to that kind of power. Jimi Hendrix, I'm not going to ask you who knew him. Jimi Hendrix was an American rock guitarist and a composer, and he said, "When the power of love overcomes the love of power, the world will know peace. When the power of love overcomes the love of power, the world will know peace." Jesus' love, his compassion, his mercy is power. And that's why the power that Jesus demonstrates often baffles people. In fact, this often startled and angered his opponents who failed to comprehend the true meaning of service. Well, when we talk about the power of God, this past week it just came to me, when we talk about the power of God, we use words like omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresent. That sounds so good. That is, God is all-knowing, God is all-powerful, God is ever-present. But the Hebrews, the Hebrews did not even try to get at the essence of God. They knew that they couldn't do it. They knew that it was past finding it out. They spoke about what God did instead of who God is. I mean, if you asked a Hebrew about God, they would have said, "Our God is the one who delivered us from the hands of the Egyptians. Our God is the one who brought us into the promised land. Our God is the one who defended us against our enemies. He's the one who's guided us." The Jews would have talked about what God has done and what God is doing. And they knew that through that God would go on loving them no matter what because of what he'd done. You see, you can talk about the God who parted the Red Sea. Boy, I'm sure that messed up their thinking. You know, they get to the sea and all of a sudden, poof. See, most of the time, we couldn't grasp what God wants to do anyway. Our little finite minds couldn't even get a hold of God's power if we wanted it. But we need to speak about what God is doing. See, there are varied moments in the Bible where the power of God's demonstrated, yet the cross of Christ has got to be the culmination of his power. Because Jesus Christ was put to death on a Roman gibbet, a cross. And they placed him in a tomb, and 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. That's not a fictional story. It's a fact. It's been retold for centuries. That power over death does not end at the resurrection. It only begins. For every person has the option to choose to accept the fact that Jesus Christ is a risen Savior. Every person has the right to choose Jesus Christ or reject Jesus. But we do not have the right to make Jesus into something that he's not. See, Jesus is not a religious organization. Jesus is a risen Savior. He is a living Savior. Jesus is not a tyrant that demands a sinless life. Jesus loves in spite of sin. That kind of compassion is powerful. The power of God to demonstrate such love for people, it's as powerful as a whisper. Well, hopefully I can explain it this way. By talking about my relationship with my children. Anybody here teach children? Anybody ever taught children? Okay, some of you admit to it. You people are still sane. I appreciate you. Anybody here, are you a parent? Do you have children? Anybody have children? How many here, were you ever a child? Anybody? Okay, a few hands. Some of you aren't children. I'm sorry, you never were. Well, have you ever colored with kids? I mean, I would, you know, my kids love to color. And so they'd say, Daddy, do you want color? Dad, do you want color? And I'd say, sure, I'd love to color. Now, I come from a family of artists, okay? So my brothers all were artists, and, you know, I learned very young age what colors went where, and learned, you know, you have to stay in the lines and that kind of thing, okay? You get the picture. I kind of understand that stuff. So I would pick up colors like, you know, I'd choose purple for hair, red for eyes, a really bright, bright white for skin, you know. Actually, some people may look like that. I better be careful what I say. He may have purple hair and bright eyes. I don't know. So this is a very poor illustration if you think you look. But my kids would go, no, Dad, you got to have brown hair. Dad's got to be brown hair. And Dad, blue eyes, you got to pick blue eyes. And Dad, you got to make sure it's this flesh color for skin. This is like our skin color. It says right on your dad's flesh. And I'd say, okay, wait. I'd start coloring. And I'd start going over like, whoa, Dad, no. You got to keep in the lines, Dad, as best you can. Like, really try hard. And I'd say, okay, you know, is this good enough? Am I trying hard enough? See, here's the point. I had within me the power to show them that I knew the proper coloring and I knew how to color. But I let that go so they could feel a sense of worth in showing me. That's how God is with us. God can do anything, but He won't. God knows what you need before you ask Him, but He wants a relationship with you so desperately that He longs to hear you talk to Him. He wants to help you, and He wants to listen, and He cares, and He has the power to do anything. But God limits Himself out of respect for you and me. That's incredible power. And He listens to you. And He takes such delight in you. And that's the power of God. Just as God made Himself nothing, He made Himself nothing, taking the nature and the demeanor of a servant, we need to do the same. We need to come before Him as nothing. You see, there's such power in that kind of living, coming to the one who knows. And following this mandate, it's difficult. That's actually impossible when we try to do it on our own. But understand this, God's power is available to you today. If you're feeling tired, if you're feeling worn out, if you're lacking the energy today, maybe you're just running way too much. It's time for you to slow down and talk to God. Because God's power knows no limit. You see, when we're weak, He infuses us with strength. When we're foolish, He proves Himself wise. I love the way that J.B. Phillips paraphrases this in the Living Bible in Ephesians 1, 19-20. It says, "How tremendous is the power available to us who believe in God." When we make our firm connection with God, His life and His power flow through us, just like a whisper. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Maybe you're coming this morning feeling bruised. Maybe you're feeling beat up. Maybe you're running. Maybe you're feeling like a smoldering wick. Can you recall Jesus' tender touch over the past of your life? Can you recall some of the ways in which He comforted you and restored you, keeping you from snapping or burning out? Do you know the tremendous power that is available to you, those who believe in God? Tap into that power today. Tap into that energy. Tap into that strength. Tap into that wisdom, that power that only God can give. Now remember, God knows what you need, but He's not going to give it to you. He wants you to learn, just like children learn how to color. He wants you to learn by coming. He wants that relationship with you, by talking to Him about where you hurt, what you need, where you lack. Well, every head is bowed, every eye is closed today. If you want to say, "God, I need Your power. I believe in You, God. I believe, God, in You. And I need that power that's available. I need that power that's available to me today." Just lift your hand if you're coming to God that way. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord, God sees all those hands. God sees all those hands. Maybe today you're here and you may have heard about Jesus, his resurrection, and just wondered if that's real. Let me tell you, today it is. But you've never come to him and said, Lord, forgive me. I need you. I commit my life to you. I surrender my life to you. It doesn't mean you have to change. It just means that you're giving your life, which is really his, back to him. You're saying, I'll do what I can. God, I'll do what I can. I know I'll make mistakes, but I'll do what I can. Just forgive me. Accept me for who I am. And God will accept you for who you are. If you're coming to him in that way today, you just say, God, I want to be a Christian. That's all I want. Just while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, just lift your head up. Just lift it up. Lord bless you. 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 Father, thank you for lives that are changed. Even right now, Lord, you give us the power we need to make it through. Father, you love us so much that you don't even push yourself on us. You love us so much that you want that relationship with us and you want us to come and just talk to you about where we hurt. You want us to just be who we are, God, and you accept us that way. For that, we're thankful. For that, we know your power. Lord, thank you for everybody in this room. Lord, thank you for these people who gather in the sanctuary to worship you. And God, I pray that you would bless us in a mighty way. Bless us beyond what we could even wildly dream. Bless us with your power, God, so that we can live mighty lives for you and speak about the things that you do, God. We pray this to your glory and honor. In Jesus Christ's name, and all God's people said, Amen.